It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. While there has been a major push to focus on science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, in education, there's at least one branch of the sciences that has been largely overlooked, geology, or geoscience. With me today to help me understand why this is a problem and what we should and are doing to fix it are Ted Neal, Clinical Associate Professor of Science Education at the University of Iowa. Hello, Ted.
Hello.
And Brad Kramer, Associate Professor of Earth and Environmental Science at the University of Iowa. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah.
And why do you think there's a problem? What frame the problem for me. You want to start, Brad?
Sure. The major difficulty is this is often just simply a discipline that students are not exposed to within high school or even in middle school. And so by the time that they show up at a university, they don't even know we exist as a thing, let alone a potential career path or why it might be important for them to get into.
All right. So you've got a lack of students going into it. You also have a lack of people who are qualified to teach, right?
Precisely. And so it's both ends of the pipeline, if you want to think about it that way. So we don't have a whole lot of teachers who are exposed to that in the first place in their educational process when they're learning how to be teachers, and so don't necessarily know how to roll that into their classroom training.
All right. Now, a lot of us from college remember the geology class in college, and it did have a nickname, Rocks for Jocks. Mm-hmm. So why do you think geology has gotten such a bum rap? Why has this been the underdog in the sciences? What do you think, Ted?
Yeah, so historically, back in the early 19th century, all four science disciplines were given equal platform. And then they were put into a hierarchy of order of study, and earth science was put first, so earth, space, geology, however you want to frame this. That eventually became basic science, and that became your proverbial rocks for jocks. It became a ninth grade course. In the educational world, a lot of people kind of attribute it to it's the class that people who aren't going to be successful in science take. At a ninth grade level, you have a maturity issue with your kids at that grade level. So you have a lot of teachers who are going, no, I'd much rather go up here and teach the bio or the chem or the physics at a higher level. We'll let the new teachers deal with that. It became a basic science. Right now, the statistics come out that about 7% of high school students take an earth space science class, which is terrible. It pipelines right into Brad's issue when we get to college of nobody's taking it in high school. Why would they take it in college?
Right. And they're not taking it because they test out of it and go to what are considered to be the higher sciences or what?
Well, that's a great question. So typically, colleges give a lot of credit to biochem and physics. And so students actually just skip earth and space science. And so while it's actually on the books that they're supposed to be taking it and it's supposed to be taught, most school districts will claim that it's being covered within the curriculum of biochemistry and physics. And therefore, they are teaching it, but it's never explicitly taught. Colleges don't require it. It can be accepted at a college level as a pre-college course, but schools don't typically look at it that way. Most schools still just frame it as your proverbial rocks for jocks.
All right. So make the case for me. Why should we be studying geoscience?
One of my favorite quotes is, if you don't grow it, you mine it. And so even if you do grow it, you're growing it using petrochemicals, using other things that are actually produced via some sort of geological process in the first place. And so basically, everything that you touch and interact with every day was provided in some way, shape, or form by geology. On top of that, we're the interface between all of the other sciences and society. So there is geobiology and geophysics and geochemistry. These are all of the things that help us understand how our water is the way our water is. Where is our water? What do we need to do to get this resource or that resource? Pretty much any natural resource that exists is a geological question in the first place. And so if we're going to be worried about those in any way, shape, or form, those are geological pursuits.
So I think as a species, we've shown ourselves to have an incredible capacity for taking the earth that we stand on and live on for granted. Do you feel like a lack of studying geosciences is part of that equation that just exacerbates the problem that we take it for granted because we don't understand it?
I would say absolutely. And so to me, one of the big difficulties in before you can get at a lot of those societal end-used questions, you have to start very much at the, more remedial end of the question of how does the natural system work? how does the hydrosphere interact with the geosphere, interact with the biosphere? And so what geoscience really is the sum or the integration of all of the individual sciences together. And so that's why, you know, it was almost backwards, as Ted was explaining, where when geoscience got put up front, you can't really do it justice if you haven't already had biology and chemistry and physics to understand how those pieces work together as an Earth system.
Oh, interesting.
So in the world of, you know, agriculture and mining, those are the only two fields that actually add value to the economy. Everything else is subsidiary off of those things. So having that basal understanding is critical. You know, when we talk about Earth and space science, you're talking about the integration of the other three sciences. And it's one of the reasons, why science got it pushed off is they said, well, we can study hard sciences of chemistry, biology, and physics. Earth science isn't a hard science. It's the integration of all those. That's one of the other reasons it got actually pulled out of the mainstream curriculum and put into that general science so-called population there.
So it sounds like you're saying you believe this study should be more of a capstone course, something you build up to.
Oh, absolutely. So Iowa has a new set of science standards. We adopted them a couple years ago. They go to full rollout this upcoming school year. And at the high school level, there is three sciences that are up front. It's life science, biology, physical science, chem and physics combined because of their relationship with each other, and then earth and space science. And the view is that you should have physics first to understand the biology, the chemistry pieces that go with that, and all of those things have to come before you can even begin to understand earth and space science. And think about the last time you read the news, that it wasn't about climate science. It wasn't about flooding. It wasn't about all of these things that are earth space science pieces that you have to have the background knowledge in the hard disciplines to be able to even start to wrap your head around it. But instead, what we do in high school is it's rocks for jocks. Here's a bucket of rocks. What kind is it? How was it made? Oh, great. Rock cycle. Fantastic. What do we do with that? Nothing. Let's teach it as you said, a capstone piece is exactly what it should be.
All right. And is that part of the new science standards? Is that going to happen in Iowa?
So Iowa is a local control state, so every school and every community gets to make that decision on their own. Our encouragement, we can't mandate anything. The encouragement is that you teach a physical science first, you teach a life science second, you teach an earth space third. About half the schools in the state of Iowa are trying to stay with their exact same curriculum, doing the exact same they've always done. Einstein's definition of insanity, expecting to get a different result. Which they won't.
How do you really feel, Ted? Okay.
No, that's how I really feel. So that's where we got to look. How do you blend that together?
Right. Okay. And we were just talking earlier about the fact that we have a lack of teachers who can teach geoscience. So if you want schools to be presenting this as a capstone, where do the teachers come from?
And so that's exactly our next question. And so Ted's involved in many programs at the University of Iowa. We've also have a current NSF program or an NSF-sponsored program.
National Science Foundation.
Yes, through the University of Iowa as well, where currently we're offering continuing education credits actually for free, where the NSF will pay for them for teachers to be able to take an online course and then a field trip during the summer about the geology of Iowa, so that not only do they get some geoscience education, but they also get a better understanding of what's in their own backyard so that they can take that to their own classroom.
All right. Well, give me some examples of some of the things that you want teachers and then therefore students to know about in their own backyard.
So virtually everything that you see in your backyard is a geoscience thing, whether it be the soils, whether it be the trees and plants and animals, whether it be the water that's running through your backyard, or if you actually have rock exposed in your backyard. Just because it isn't a rock doesn't mean it's not something geological. And so all of these give you a great example of what happened in the history of our state. And by history, I mean not just written history, but going back hundreds of millions of years. And it's so diverse from one end of the state to the other. So we've got rocks that are more than 450 million years old in the eastern side of the state, going all the way over to the Lost Hills, for example, or the soil all the way across between here and there, that things that are much less than a million years old. There's an incredible amount of the history of the Earth that you can present to your students in the classroom literally just by going outside of your own school. And in order to be able to present teachers the information they need to do that, that's one of the objectives of this Geology in Iowa course.
And it seems like every time I go to one of my kids' schools and we learn about the curriculum, I get told about a new whiz-bang online interactive computerized science education. Now, you're trying to get people outside. Do you think that we need to push for more hands-on education in the sciences, Ted?
Oh, that's absolutely critical. So the Nature Deficit Disorder, Richard Louv's work on students being removed from teaching and learning in the outdoors is a critical component of kids today. So if you think about how you were probably taught climate science, you were probably taught about polar bears. You're probably taught about melting ice caps and raising sea levels.
Yeah, I am older than you think I am.
Well, maybe. Well, your kids maybe learned about it in that way, right? But that's what we teach. But that's so foreign to kids because they don't see it or experience it. So learn to take your kids. That's what we work on in the College of Ed. We work on get your kids outdoors, see the things that are going on in your own backyard. Because a kid's invested in learning when it's, why does my family farm this way? What did my family farm look like before it was a family farm? What did this community that now exists here, what was it before? And a lot of that stuff those kids can see and interact with, and that's where the real learning happens. So we encourage like our pre-service teachers, they spend time at School of the Wild, a local outdoor education center. I have my kids physically go out, teach with kids outside, trying to get teachers to the idea of walk outside of your school. Have the interaction with your kids in that manner.
Well, you mentioned teaching climate science, and really teaching climate science is not done universally, and nor was it necessarily done 10 years ago, or certainly not 20 years ago, or 30 years ago. Do you think that that's a big part of why the public has such a difficult time understanding climate science? There's such this gulf of understanding because we don't have the scientific background from school to understand what climate scientists are talking about?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's one, a lack of science understanding. It's two, there's enough people in the world who have a disbelief in what science is trying to share as knowledge and information. And I think somehow we've managed to politicize climate science. And I don't understand how or why politicizing the little tiny blue raft that we live on is a benefit to anybody. I tell my students all the time, I said, in my view, the first thing we vote for is protecting the planet and climate science. It's not about, is it anthropogenic? Is it human caused? Who did this? Who was at fault here? It's what does the actual data look like? Iowa, you're looking at a 37% increase in rain over the next 50 years. Great. What does that mean for flooding then? If we're flooding a lot right now, what happens if you add a whole lot more moisture to the system? Let's not worry about the bickering back and forth, but let's look at solutions to some of these things in an integrated manner. And I think the public just puts up barriers here and there. So not everybody. And then that lack of just common science knowledge is rampant throughout the world. Like I work with college students all the time. I ask a very simple question. Why do we have seasons? 60% of my kids cannot tell me why we have seasons. I asked them yesterday, where does sand come from? 85% say it comes up off of the bottom of the ocean floor onto the beach. When I asked them about gravity, they went, oh, yeah, I suppose that doesn't work, does it? So even college-educated kids, future teachers, are struggling with that basic level of science knowledge.
So we're talking about curriculum ideas that schools can embrace, can take advantage of these resources. Are you getting good responses from schools in Iowa? Do you feel like you're getting traction?
Partly, yes. So the first rollout of this NSF-sponsored program that we have was just last year. And so we were able to get a total of 33 K-12 teachers enrolled in the program. So that's 27 different counties in Iowa. And so we'd, of course, like every county in the state of Iowa. But for the first rollout, that wasn't that bad. We're hoping for, as we go forth next year or this year and then the following years, the end of that program, that we'll be able to hit more and more K-12 educators.
And Ted, you've also got a scholarship program that you're participating with in hopes of educating more teachers, right?
Yeah. So along that, we have a Noyce scholarship program, which is Robert Noyce. He went to Grinnell College. He's a local Iowa kid. And we have a big scholarship with them, giving out $12,000 a year of financial aid to students who want to come back and be teachers. So people who are out in the real world who decide, I think I want to pursue education now. So we have a big scholarship program to bring students in from that avenue.
All right. And again, are you getting people excited Do you find that a lot of people are coming back and saying, yeah, I do want to do this?
So one of the things that we've started to see more of is in both environmental science and now in geoscience, we have an opportunity for students to get a bachelor's degree in those disciplines and a master's degree in teaching at exactly the same time. And those have been on the books for quite a while now, but we're starting to see more and more students take advantage of that, really realizing that there's a hole that they can fill.
All right. So for those of us who came through school and managed to avoid any geology classes whatsoever, which is the majority of us, if we're listening to this right now and we're thinking, hey, it sounds like we really missed out, what do you think we should do to learn a little bit about geology?
So it all depends on where your interests lie at that point. To me, one of the best things to do in the state of Iowa is go to the Iowa Geological Survey's website. And they have an unbelievable amount of information for what you see around you. So they have field trip field guides that you can go download. They have interactive maps that you can utilize to see how old are the rocks actually behind me. There's an unbelievable amount of platforms like that that can help you engage in what is available scientifically, but in terms of it's presented as outreach to the general public. And so the whole objective of them is not to go talk to another scientist, but to actually explain to the citizens of the state of Iowa, for example, why it is that what is in their own backyard is so special and so important.
And we've been talking about jobs for teachers, but there are lots of jobs to be had in this field as well, and a great need for people with this education, right?
Absolutely. And so within the state of Iowa, for example, this is the second largest industry behind agriculture. If you asked anyone on the street, let alone a legislator, what was the second largest industry in the state, they probably wouldn't come up with geoscience. But this is incredibly true. So there's over 4,000 direct geoscience jobs in the state of Iowa. There's many, many more than that if you look regionally. One of the largest issues is the geosciences are facing what's been termed in industry as the great crew change. So starting in the 1980s, we reduced the total number of people getting degrees in this field, and we're going to be facing about a shortage of 80 to 90,000 trained geoscientists nationwide.
All right. So a lot of opportunity. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
We were talking about geoscience with Ted Neal, Clinical Associate Professor of Science Education at the University of Iowa, and Brad Kramer, Associate Professor of Earth and Environmental Science, also at the University of Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.